Amen. Hey, welcome Pine Lake family and happy 4th of July weekend. It's good to see all of you and look grateful you're here to worship with us today. I want to give a special shout out to those of you watching online. I speak on behalf of everyone at the Reservoir campus in person. If you're watching online at the beach right now, we are really jealous and we wish we could be you right now. Hey, if you have a Bible, go ahead and open it up. We're going to be in the book of Numbers today, chapter 13, the book of Numbers in the Old Testament. We're going to pick up on the back half of chapter 13 and then read on into chapter 14 in just a few moments. I want to start with a question posed to all of you here at the Res and all of you online. Have you ever noticed how so often in life, two people can look at the same exact scene or event and almost seem to be seeing something completely different? Like when they tell you about that scene or that event, they come back and it's like, what? Like you both said something completely different. Same picture, but two different points of view. Perspective in life changes everything, doesn't it? Perspective changes everything. I heard the story of a man who saw a hunting dog for sale for $2,500. He thought it was a steal of a deal, but he wanted to see the dog in action before he purchased. So he called the guy selling and said, hey, I'd like to see this dog before I buy it. So the next morning, they take the dog out to go hunting. And they immediately flush two birds out onto the water. And this dog doesn't swim to get the birds. He walks on top of the water and grabs both birds in his mouth and then starts to walk back on top of the water onto dry land. And I mean, this guy's like, bam, this is the dog. He gives him the money on the spot, calls his brother like all of you would do. All you hunters, you do the same thing. Bro, you got to come check out this dog. I just won the best dog known to humanity. So the next day, brother comes because he wants to witness this dog in action. And so they go out on their boat, immediately flush two birds out into the water. Dog does the same thing, jumps off the boat, starts walking on water, grabs both birds. The owner of the dog is just beaming as he's kind of looking at his brother. Dog comes back with both birds in his mouth, walking on water, jumps back on the boat, and he just is smiling. He says, So my bro, what you think of my new dog? And he looks at him and says, so you're telling me you got a dog who can't swim? No, look, that's a weak preacher joke. But here's why I share that. We've all learned the power of perspective, right? Somebody looks at the dog and sees a dog that walks on water. Somebody looks at the dog and sees a dog that can't do anything, can't even swim. Perspective changes everything in life. The dictionary definition for the word perspective, it's a particular attitude toward or it's a way of regarding something. It's a particular point of view. And the origin of the word in Latin, it literally means to look through or to look beyond. And I don't care how young or how old you are today, we've all learned the power of perspective in life, right? Somebody can see the glass half full, somebody sees the glass half empty. Or somebody looks at a situation and sees nothing but possibility, the other person sees nothing but problems. Somebody goes through a breakup and one person only looks at the breakup. The other person looks at all the other fish in the sea. Linda Ware on staff with us in Starkville, she shared with us last Sunday that when her son Evan was a whole lot younger, he was in the first grade, they were on their way to church. And from back in the back seat of the car, he said, Mama, I got bad news and I got good news. She said, okay, Evan, we're going to start with the bad news. They were almost to church and Evan said, well, Mama, the bad news is I forgot my shoes. And Linda said, yeah, that's bad news. This wasn't the type of church where, like, you took shoes off because you're standing on holy ground. This was a very traditional church. You didn't show up to Sunday school without shoes. So Linda's like, okay, yeah, that's bad news, Evan. We don't have time to turn around. What's the good news? He said, Mama, the good news is I brought my snake. He had snuck his corn snake in his pocket, and he was bringing it to show and tell for Sunday school. I love Evan's perspective. Mama, I forgot my shoes, but I got my snake. It's all good. And look, I'm sharing this, and we're talking about perspective. Because the story we're looking at today in Scripture, it's going to teach us how do we see our current circumstances, the things we're walking through in life right now, with the right frame of mind. And so I think for you, here's my big thought, my big takeaway. There is an invitation from God for you to see with a much bigger perspective, to start to see your life as God sees it, your problems, your circumstances, to start to view them with a God-sized perspective. So if you have a Bible, Numbers 13, we're going to pick up in verse 27 in just a minute. I want to give you some context before we dive into the scripture. Moses has led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt, and they're on their way to the promised land. At the beginning of chapter 13, God gives Moses this command. He says, Moses, I want you to pick 12 spies from 12 different tribes. I want them to go into the land of the Canaanites, the land that I am giving you, the promised land, and go and report and tell us what you find. Tell us what you see. And so that's exactly what Moses does. He picks 12 and they go for 40 days and this is their report. I want you to see their report. I want you to see the different frame of mind, the different perspective. Verse 27, it'll be up on the screen. I'd love for you to follow along with me. It'll be up right up here. Maybe you have your Bible out. You can pull up your Bible app. It says, and they told him. This is their report to Moses. We came to the land which you sent us. And it flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, Moses, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, all these people. And the Canaanites, they dwell by the sea and along the Jordan. But then Caleb, one of the spies, he spoke up. And he says, let us go up at once and occupy the land. So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out. And they said, the land through which we have gone to spy out, here's what they said to the people. It's a land that devours its inhabitants. All the people that we saw in it are of great height. Leapfrog, chapter 14, verse 1. Then all the congregation heard this report. And look what's happening. The people of God, the Israelites, they raised a loud cry and they wept. All the people grumbled against their leaders, Moses and Aaron, the whole congregation. Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us just to go back to Egypt? And they said to one another, we're going to choose a different leader, and let's just go back to Egypt. May I remind you, that was where they were in slavery. Verse 5, then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, who were among those who had spied out the land, they tore their clothes, and they said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, the land which we passed through to spy it out, it is an exceedingly good land. And if the Lord delights in us, look at the different perspective, the different report. And if the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us. It is a land that flows with milk and honey. And as I was reading this story in this text and my own L3 reading over this over the last 2 to 3 weeks, I just started, I couldn't get past the fact that all 12 spies saw the same land. They're all looking at the same thing, the same scene. And yet Caleb and Joshua seem to have come back with a different report. Caleb and Joshua seem to be witnessing this land with some giants in it from a different perspective. They lived with a different perspective, and it got me thinking about our culture and our world today, the world that me and you live in, the culture that we live in right now in 2022, and it begs me to ask you this question. Do you look at your life and your current circumstances with a God-sized perspective from God's point of view? And Pine Lake family, it can become so easy with the political unrest, right? The increased inflation, the rumors of war, all we are inundated with bad news after bad news after bad news, where you can start to find yourself acting just like the Israelites, where you're frozen in fear, living in worry, and you're constantly complaining because all you see are the giants around you and it controls you. And here's the problem. We end up looking like everybody else. Your atheist neighbor, unbelieving classmate, unbelieving coworker, complains about how they wish things could be just like you. And you get in fights and you get in debates on social media just like them, and you live terrified of the future just like them. So you go get lunch with them and share about how your life has been radically changed by the person of Jesus Christ. And in the back of their minds, they're going, really? Because you think and you act and you talk and you see things just like me. Ain't no difference. I think for so many of us today, I just wonder how many of your fears in life are partly because your focus in life is so small. And it's on you, and it's on your problems and your issues and your little American dream. And my friends, may I remind you that our God is a big, big God who says, I have a purpose for the world. I'm inviting you to step into what I'm calling you to be a part of this purpose that I have for the world. And with me and in me, you can live a life of peace and joy and contentment, no matter the giants and the problems around you. Isaiah 55, 8, God speaks this over the prophet Isaiah, for my thoughts aren't your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. And so I'm inviting you to step into a daily life of contentment, no matter the problems, because you have this ability to always shift your perspective and look up and find God in the middle of what you're walking through. And so what I want to do is I want to go back over this text, and I want to ask this question: how do we live with this God-sized perspective? How do I start to see through a different lens today? Let's learn from where the Israelites missed it and where Caleb and Joshua got it right. I have four takeaways for you, for you note takers. It'll be up on the slides. The first takeaway is you need to learn how to lean on God's promises, not your present circumstances. Learning to lean your life, fixate your gaze on what God has said in his word, not necessarily your present circumstances. I want to go back to the spies' original report. In verse 27, what kept them from moving forward in faith, my friends? Look, verse 27 says, and they told him, Moses, we came to the land in which you sent us, and it flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. I want to pause right here for just a second. I want you to notice how much they're already missing it. Notice what they said. Moses, we came to the land that you sent us. May I remind you, God, Moses didn't send them, God is. This was God's mission, God's voice, God's promise. And so you can begin to sense that they seem to think they're on a mission from Israel more than on a mission from God. So they're probably going to start seeing from more of a human perspective than a God-sized perspective. In Paul's, that's verse 27. Look at the contrast, verse 28. So we came to the land, it flows with milk and honey. And then verse 28 says, however. Now, maybe your translation says, nevertheless. Really, what that word means is, despite all of what we found, here's what we also found, Moses. The people who dwell in the land, they're strong. The cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. So here's what I want you to see. Verse 27 speaks toward the promises of God. It said, Moses, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. If you know your scripture, you know your text, you know that in the beginning of the movement of the people of Israel, when God first called Moses, the story with the burning bush, there was a promise that he spoke over him and the Israelite people. This is the promise. May I remind you, Exodus 3, verse 8, I have come down. This is God speaking over Moses. I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and a broad land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite. My friends, they found it. This is the prompt. They're standing on the promises of God. It's time for the Israelites to move forward in faith that what God said about the land was indeed true. And yet verse 28 shows us that the obstacles around them was taking hold of their current reality. So they go, Moses, my guy, look, we see the promises of God. We see it. However, and can I just pause? How can you say we went to the land, found it good, God's promise is true, and then say however, but they did. And they looked at the present circumstances, and you know what they did? They missed God. And so can I just say you do the same thing? I think this is so relevant because this is how even 2,000 plus years later, the enemy works in your life. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says it himself in John 10:10, and he is in the business of wanting to mess with your perspective and your outlook on life by convincing you of this. Hey, what God said isn't true. And he's forcing you, and he forces you to look at the giants all around you. He is a master at deception and manipulation. And every single day of your life, God's voice wants to speak hope and faith, promises over you, but the enemy will combat it with a however. Despite all this, yeah, God might have said that, but let me speak this over you. God's not really with you. He didn't really promise that. This is only going to get worse. You will never, ever come back from that mistake. And so God will say one thing, and you'll choose to live a life where you just listen to the however's from the enemy. And it'll destroy your perspective. It'll destroy your outlook. And so I want to give you this mental framework. It's learning to lean your life on what God has said. Cling to this thing. What God has said, rather than focusing on what's going on around you. Staying laser focused. Looking up and saying, God, I'm looking at what you've said. I'm listening to you. For all my dog lovers in the room, if you have a dog, you know this. If you put people food in front of your dog, they go crazy. Not only do they go crazy, come on, grab a piece of chicken, grab a leftover piece of steak, grab a Cheeto for all that matters. Put that Cheeto in front of your dog. What do they do? Shoop. And you can move that Cheeto to the left. Shoop.
move that Cheeto to the right, and they are laser focused. It doesn't matter what's going on around them. There could be a bunch of cats running through your house. There could be a tornado about to tear apart your house. They're laser focused on this people food that you got dangling in front of them. And I want to give you that as a picture to say, hey, what does it look like for you to live a life where every single day your focus is on His word, what He says, what He's doing, rather than all the your circumstances around you? No matter what the world throws at you, y'all, there are 7,147 promises from God to man in the Bible. That's a lot. And when you don't know where to turn, when you don't know where to look, look at His promises. He's a promise maker. He's a promise keeper. And know that what He says will come to pass. Come on, are you terrified of the future right now? If you look at the next 10 years of our landscape, you're nervous, you're terrified. Can you find hope in the promises of Deuteronomy 31:8? It's the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Come on, are you somebody right now living anxious? Finding yourself constantly anxious. Find hope. Paul's writing to the church in Philippi. Don't be anxious. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So come on, get past the immediate circumstances and start to live a life where you focus on what God has said and what He's spoken over you. Second takeaway is you got to learn how to control the voices that shape your perspective. There's a lot of voices right now that are wanting to shape your outlook on life. And what grabbed hold of the Israelites was the bad report. That's what Scripture says. The whole nation was struck by the talk of the giants. And can I remind you, these are the people of God, chosen by God. And they're being led astray because of a few voices that became the majority. Numbers 13, verse 32, it says, so they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land. And they said, the land through which we have gone, Moses, it's a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height. Then all the congregation, look at all the people now engrossed into this bad report. It says they raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. And I want to pause because this is a moment of reckoning for Israel. They're faced with a choice. Do they listen to the voices of the majority who were against conquering the land, or do they listen to the voices of the minority who insisted that the land was well within their grasp? And the majority won out, and word spread, and Scripture says they're weeping. And it was crying that led to feelings of unbelief. It was crying that allowed feelings to rule instead of faith, and the crying spread and the fear spread. And I want you to notice something. They're all starting to listen to each other and feed off of each other. And I can just imagine it's going from family to family and tribe to tribe. Hey, did you hear what they said? Y'all, did you hear what they said? Yeah, they said that there's a bunch of giants and they're big and we can't move forward. And it's a lesson for you today. Negativity and an unhealthy perspective is contagious and it is deadly. When you live with bitterness and when you live with a complaining spirit, it is deadly and it is contagious. And how easy is it for you to get caught up in all the bad reports of the day? Come on, just flip on the news. We hear it all the time. And you begin to live with complaining and a frustrated spirit as though you've forgotten that song you learned in Sunday school that He's got the whole world in His hands. And so what happens is you start to feed everybody else around you. And you start to whisper all your complaints and all your frustrated tones and your spirit starts to be filled with bitterness to where we all start looking like the people of doubt rather than the people of faith. And I don't know about you, I've had some family dinner conversations that look more like that, way more than it should. And so I'm asking you, what voice is shaping your perspective today? What soundtrack are you listening to? What soundtrack is leading the way in your life right now? Is it God's word? Or is it CNN? Is it Fox News or worship music? Is it toxic people or is it people that build up and speak life and speak blessing and speak hope? I just finished reading a book by Pastor John Mark Comer entitled Live No Lies. I love this quote that I got from the book. It says, we're already filling our minds with inputs all day long. And here's what many of those inputs are doing. They're creating in us hearts that are fractured and anxious and angry. And when we focus our attention on Jesus and we allow the flow of His thoughts into our minds, we begin to experience His peace, His love, and His deep joy. We become calmer, more loving, and plain happier. So for you to have a God-sized perspective, it's a daily decision that is led by what you allow to speak into your life. Control your input. It shapes your output. A couple weeks ago, my wife and I took our son Grayson to a two-day beach trip. And I love when I go to the beach just doing a run on the beach, but I don't literally physically go on the beach because ain't nobody trying to run in the sand. That ain't fun. So I like to say that I run on the beach, but I run on the sidewalk to where I can see the ocean, right? Now, this particular morning, I had some old shoes, so I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put my Beats headphones in, put on my Running Mix soundtrack, and I'm going to go run on the beach, on the sand. I make it about 5 minutes, and I realize that the ocean, it was a windy morning, the ocean and the wind were starting to drown out my Running Mix. And that was frustrating me, because come on, we all love a good Running Mix or a good playlist. So I couldn't really hear my playlist, so I immediately had to shift back to the sidewalk. And I share that because this happens to us every single day, that God is inviting you to tune into what he has to say, what he is saying, the hope and the promises that he has spoken. But you and me, we allow all the outside factors and outside voices speak into our life. So you might wake up with God's word, but the rest of your day is dictated by all these false voices. And so when you lay your head on your pillow at night, what was once locked into God's word is now a frustrated, complaining, bitter spirit because of all the voices that have shaped your perspective. What you listen to will lead to what you believe to be true about yourself and your perspective. So you got to control those voices, lean on God's promises, and then thirdly, don't forget God's past faithfulness. How do I live with a God-sized perspective? Don't forget God's past faithfulness. I want to put pause, like grab the remote. I want to put pause on the story and remind you about the Israelites, who these people actually are, what God has already led them through. Okay, these are God's people, God's chosen people, and they had all just walked through the Red Sea. Okay, not like on a boat, not on top of the water, the invisible hand of God. You're familiar with the story, the invisible hand of God parted the waters and they walked on dry land. And then it overcame the Egyptians. Can you imagine if you experienced that? Not only did they experience that, they'd all just lived through a series of miracles and plagues in Egypt, and they had seen God's hand at work on their behalf to free them from Egypt, not once, not twice, my friends, 10 times. And yet when these 12 spies walked through the promised land that God was wanting to give them, only two could look at the environment and imply what had just happened. So the men are big. Who cares? Our God's bigger. So the land seems like we're going to have to fight for it. Who cares? My God just freed us from generations of slavery. Somehow Joshua and Caleb had the vision to see that if God had moved in the past, he would move now. But the people, they forgot God's past faithfulness. We're going to go back to the text. Verse 2. It says, all the people of Israel, they grumbled against Moses and Aaron and the whole congregation. Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the swords? Our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us to just go back to Egypt? May I remind you that in Egypt, they were in slavery. They were in slavery. How soon do they forget God's faithfulness? How often do you do the same thing? How soon do they revert back to a slave mentality? How often do you and me do the same thing? I love this quote. It says that Satan loves to make you forget what you should remember. And what you should remember today is the miracles of God on your behalf and the past victories. He loves to make you forget what you should remember. He also loves to make you remember what you should forget, your past of sin and failures. And so I want to speak this over you today. We just sang about the goodness of God. My friends, God is faithful and he is good. And you've seen evidence of his goodness throughout your life. Maybe you just need to look to your right and to your left and be reminded that the people you're sitting with are evidence of God's goodness. And so here's what I want to do. There's a phrase I want us to lock in today as a faith family, because I want us to leave as the people of faith more than the people of doubt. I want us to leave as though we know the final score and we know that God's got the whole world in his hands. So there's a phrase, but it's going to be up on the screen. And on 1, 2, 3, I want you to say it with me. If you're online and you're on the beach right now, be that weird person. And everybody's going to look at you like you're funky, but you're locked in with us. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. He got me through that. He'll get me through this. All right, we're going to say it one more time like the people of faith. Here we go. One, two, three. He got me through that. He'll get me through this. You can trust God tomorrow because he was faithful yesterday. I had a conversation with my mother last week. It was the night before my big sister was about to have her first child. It was going to be a baby girl. And I was talking to my mom, and I could just tell she was nervous. And I said, Mom, are you good? And she said, no, Austin, I'm a little nervous. This is her only daughter. You know, it's different when your baby girl is about to have a baby girl, she said. And I was just nervous. And me and Mom just started talking about the reality of the miracle that my sister, who's about to have this baby, actually is and actually was. That my mom was rushed to the hospital, 28 weeks pregnant with preeclampsia. She was bleeding and hemorrhaging. My dad ran into the hospital and was told that his wife and his new baby girl were probably not going to make it through the night. And so he invited the hospital workers to pray, and they started praying, and people started praying, and both of them miraculously survived. My sister was born at 2 pounds. My dad could fit his wedding ring up her entire leg. She was spent 3 months in the NICU. They didn't know if she was going to have any mental capabilities. And sure enough, it was in that conversation that Mom and I were reminded that Kayla's the miracle baby in our family. And if God got us through that, you know what? He's going to get us through this. And so there was a movement where we were able to move forward in faith because the confidence came from God's past track record. May I remind you that he got you through a global pandemic. He's going to get you through increased gas prices and inflation. Some of you going, preacher, I don't know about that one. I don't know. Come on, he got you through that marriage trouble. He will get your son or daughter through this current season. He provided for you when you saw no way out financially. He's going to get you through that recent diagnosis. He got you through the loss of a loved one or that job. He's going to get you through that addiction that you're walking through. He got me through that. He'll get me through this. Your job today isn't to take control and figure it all out. It is to take a step of obedience, one step at a time, and just walk in obedience and trust that, hey, God was faithful then. He's going to be faithful as we move forward. So don't forget his past faithfulness. And then lastly, my last takeaway, real practical for us on July the 3rd, 3 words, learn to see the good. That you can be somebody who fixates and finds that which is good. You can choose to see the good in others and see the good in life. You can choose to fixate and speak on that which builds up and creates faith and creates hope. Focus on that which is good. Look at Caleb and Joshua's report. Verse 6, they're setting the example. Joshua and Caleb, who were among those who had spied out the land, they said to the people, "The land which we passed through to spy it out, it is an exceedingly good land. And if the Lord delights in us." Now, God had led them through quite a bit, so they could probably stand in faithfulness and say, look, God delights in us. Now, if you keep reading the text, God ain't going to delight no more because they're going to keep walking in disobedience. But in that moment, if the Lord delights in us, they could say, yes, he will bring us into this land and he will give it to us. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. I wish I could just title the message, How to Find Milk and Honey in a Land Full of Giants. How do you notice the milk and honey with all the giants around you? You see, Caleb and Joshua, they saw opportunity and they saw life and they found God right in the middle. And if we go back to verse 27 in chapter 13, did you notice that the spies, they did notice the milk and honey. They noticed it. They brought it up to Moses. But Caleb and Joshua let that be the channel through which they saw the land, noticing the good, trusting God with the rest. That's a lesson for you today. This is seeing things as the people of faith. Psalm 27, psalmist writes, "I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Paul writes to the church of Philippi in prison. Look at this text. He says, hey, friends, finally, whatever is true, what's honorable, what's just, what's pure, what's lovely, what's commendable, if there is anything excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, Paul says, let that be what you think about. Let that be what you look at. He's saying, hey, Pilate family, wake up each day and actively look for ways to thank God, to find hope, to see purpose. Go fixate your gaze on that which brings life and live in that. And hear me, I'm not trying to say, man, we just bury our heads in the sand and act like there's not problems around us. I'm not trying to be young and naive and act like everything's all great. But you know why I can say this with 100% confidence is because the number one reason is the last I checked, the tomb is still empty. That Jesus has won, he's going to win, and he knows the final score. We know the final score. The 2 Corinthians 5:21, the good news of what we worship today is that he who knew no sin, Jesus, the Son of God, was sent on mission. He lived for 33 years. He lived a perfect, blameless life. He knew no sin, and he became sin. He took on your sin and my sin at the cross so that what? So that you and I, Paul writes, so that you and I could become the righteousness of God. You know what that means? So that you and I today could be in right standing with the God of the cosmos. How amazing is that? What an opportunity we have. It doesn't get better than that. And I'm reminded, Pine Lake family, that we're not living to play defense. So many people of faith today live to play defense, to take a back seat. We're living to play offense because his kingdom cannot and will not be shaken. I've heard it said that beauty isn't hard to find, but it's so easy to overlook. So what if tomorrow morning, as the people of faith, we woke up with a perspective shift where we go, can you believe we get to do this? Like, can you believe that we get to wake up and we get to live a life with Jesus, through Jesus, and invite more people into the story of Jesus for eternity? Come on, God says, I'm a big God. Get on board with me today, Pine Lake family. We have reason to see the good. We can change the narrative that as the world gets darker, the kingdom of God can shine that much brighter. And here's what that does. Just like I said, negativity is contagious. And bitterness and a complaining spirit and doubt is contagious. You know what's also contagious? Hope is contagious. Faith is contagious. Living with a God-sized perspective is contagious. We need less people who try to be right and prove it through divisive words. And we need more people who live full of gratitude, speak blessing over others, what Chip talked about last week, and love like crazy, AKA act like the people of God. So I have a challenge for you. I wrote this in my notes yesterday morning, but tomorrow is July the 4th, Independence Day. We celebrate the freedom that we have in this country. And for most of you, you're probably gonna have a meal with some people that you do life with, some friends, some family, maybe some coworkers. And there's gonna be an opportunity for you to choose what perspective and what lens you're gonna look at our world through. That you can be the leader of the home and step up and say, man, can we just take a moment and thank God for the blessings we do have? Can we see the good? Thank you, Jesus, that yesterday I got to go into a church and worship Jesus publicly and hear somebody teach God's word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the blessings that I've been given. Thank you for the family and the meal that we've been blessed with. Or you can be somebody who finds all the things wrong. Well, let me tell you what's so wrong. Now, and for some of you, this is going to be the first time in a long time you just choose to see the good. As the people of faith, go find the good, go see the good. Listen to me, your perspective can change everything. I believe that. When you live with a God-sized perspective, it can change everything. It's learning to lean on God's promises, not your circumstance, not your present circumstances. It's learning to control those voices, control your input because it shapes your output. It's learning to not forget God's past faithfulness. And then lastly, it's learning to find the good and see the good. Come on, he got you through that. He's gonna get you through this. And can I remind you that he's been here all along? He's not shocked. He's not surprised. He's been here all along. When I was younger, for Christmas morning, my mom and dad would always video us as we would open gifts. And we'd have all these we have all these memories of when we were all little kids, me and my three siblings, we were opening up Christmas gifts. And so as we got later, older in life, we'd go back and watch these videos just to see how we acted when we were younger. There's one specific video that my family and I just love to go back and watch. And it was when my brother Cameron, my youngest brother, was 2 years old, and we had gotten a gift for all four of us. It was the end of us opening the gifts, and it was one that was kind of hidden. And there was a letter on it, and it said, this is to be used for what is in your backyard. And so we all start, we're little kids, we're like, what's in the backyard? And we open up, and it's a kickball, which doesn't mean anything to you, but to us at that time, it meant everything, because for the last 2 years of our life, we had spent every every moment in our neighbor's backyard on their trampoline with the kickball playing a game called the kicking game. Very creative name, I know. And I remember as we open this up, we all start to rush to the back of our house. And so my dad's videoing all of our different personalities, and then he scans it as my youngest brother kind of looks out and looks at the trampoline, and he's two, he can't really do a whole lot. We're all running onto the trampoline. My dad looks at him and says, "Cameron, what do you think? What are you thinking?" And he just looks at the camera and he says, "Dad, I didn't know that's been there all along. Like all night, all morning, this trampoline's been in the back, what?" And I share that because I want to remind you, as the people of faith, Pine Lake family, quit living like God's not been here all along. He was, he is, and he is to come. That we can act like the people of faith because he's here. He's not shocked. He's not surprised. It's the heartbeat of Caleb and Joshua's message was, guys, God led us towards the promised land. He led us out of Egypt. God's here right now. God's gonna be with us as we move forward in faith. He was, he is, and he is to come. And we can go live with a God-sized perspective today and change the world around us as we live differently, we see differently, we act differently. So here's what we're gonna do is we're getting ready to respond. And we're gonna sing a song that really has been ministering to me last 2 to 3 months of the current landscape of what we're walking through. And it's a song by Maverick City Worship that's just entitled Promises. And it speaks towards the promises of God. And it says this, it says, "God, you've been faithful through the ages. Great is your faithfulness, God, towards me. Great is your faithfulness. And God, you've been faithful through the ages." And I pray that it's a time where we respond as the people of faith. Maybe you want to hold hands with the person you're standing next to and be reminded, hey, look, we got plenty of reason to move and charge forward. Maybe for some of you, you need some prayer. You have been walking like the Israelites did in fear and worry, constantly bitter, constantly complaining, and you just need somebody to help you begin to see through a different lens today. We want to invite you. There's going to be some spiritual counselors down front. Maybe you want to have a conversation with somebody to step into a relationship with Jesus for the first time. He wants to shift your life. He wants to give you a whole new perspective today. If you're watching online, look, you can text the word pray to 57555. Text the word Jesus to 57555. We'll have somebody reach out to you. But let's act like the people of faith. Let's go live with a God-sized perspective. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you today that we get to gather as the people of faith. God, thank you for the freedom that we have on July the 3rd, 2022, to come together, to sing about your goodness, Jesus, to open up your holy scriptures, your truth, allow it to minister to us today. Father, I pray that you're speaking to hearts here at the Res, Lord. I pray you're speaking to hearts watching online. I pray that you're reminding people today to live their lives with a God-sized perspective, to look differently and act differently because you see differently today. So God, as we worship you and we sing, great is your faithfulness, God, may you minister across this room. Lord, may people respond whom you're speaking to today. Father, we ask that you lead us, you guide us, you direct us, and we cling to you, God. You got the whole world in your hands. You've been here all along. We love you, Jesus. We worship you. It's in your name. Amen.